back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is fighting challenges. My first guest taught us how to find a job in a tight labor market, even during the holidays. My next guest is noteworthy because of his age. He's a centenarian, and he's fought and overcome countless challenges during his lifetime. If you want to call in and talk to somebody who has actually exceeded 100 years old, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Dan Feller is a former life and marriage counselor. He graduated from Brooklyn Boys High School way back in 1927. Currently, he lives here in California down in Beverly Hills, and we're going to learn all about his life. Welcome to the show, Dr. Dan. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you for being our guest today, and congratulations to you. You are over 100 years old. That means you were born in the year 1910.
Yes, in four more months, I'll be 101.
You're moving on 101. I like that. So you have probably seen some incredible changes in the world in the last 100 years. Let's just sort of trace your life. Where were you born, Dan?
Born in Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brooklyn, New York. Well, that's interesting because that's a whole coast away. So you graduated from high school in 1927.
Correct.
Did you go directly from high school to college?
Yes.
You did. Okay, so that was right there at the beginning of the crash because you were in your second year of college when the stock market crashed.
And I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Okay, no
it
more
was
on the crash.
Disastrous.
Sure it was.
For my family.
It was, huh? Did it wipe you out?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Wow. Did you have to leave college as a result of the crash?
No, I didn't. I hung on.
Well, good for you. Congratulations. But then you got out of college. The year was probably 1932. You were in the midst of the Great Depression.
Yes.
What did you do immediately following college?
I decided to go to work for the counties in New York. I got a job in the welfare department delivering checks to people on welfare.
Well, that was a good job because you know that there were plenty of welfare checks that were being handed out at that time. So
indeed,
that was actually very smart.
Indeed, there were, yes.
All righty. And then the war broke out, that meaning the Second World War. Did you serve during the Second World War?
Yes.
Oh, what branch of the service were you in?
Army.
Oh, you were in the Army. Oh, wow. Infantry or Army Air Corps?
I was trained as a tanker at Fort Knox, Kentucky, 1942.
Tank driver. Wow, that's very cool. And so as a tank person, were you an officer or an enlisted man?
I went in as a buck private. I went to OCS and got my second lieutenant bar 9 months after I was enlisted.
Wow. Congratulations. You are a real go-getter. So you went to OCS and got your second Louis bars. So now you're a tank commander at that point. Where did they put you? Where were you deployed?
Well, we were trained, did a lot of training at Fort Knox and around there, and then we were sent overseas.
And where overseas did you go?
We boarded the ship, the Aquitania, at that time, the fourth largest ship in existence. And we went and sailed across the Atlantic and landed at Greenock, Scotland.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
from there, we went down to Bath, England.
Yes.
And we stayed there until we waited for orders. D+2, I boarded the ship at Southampton. And we crossed the English Channel. The ship could not stop at the shore in Cherbourg. So we got into little ships and sailed, moved toward the shore. We couldn't reach the shore, so we jumped into little ships that carried about 40 soldiers and sailed toward the beach. And when we got about 100 yards from it, a bar was let down, where the soldiers could walk into the water.
Yes.
We all jumped into the English Channel, and water went up to my chin.
Wow.
And I went 100 yards through the water and landed in Cherbourg.
So you were at Cherbourg.
Around Saint-Mère-Église.
Saint-Mère-Église, right. So you were at Cherbourg. You were at that point in the thick of the battle, because that's where the battle was the heaviest.
Exactly.
At Saint-Mère-Église. Okay. And they brought your tank ashore. Were you under enemy fire?
I was trained as a tanker, but I fought as a foot soldier.
Oh, so you were an infantryman. All right. So were you under enemy fire, Dan?
From beginning to end.
Oh, goodness gracious. Wow. So you land at Cherbourg, you're making your way towards Saint-Mère-Église. Then what happened?
We cleared out the Normandy section, then turned around and went toward Saint-Lô, which is another big town where we met very extreme offensive from the opposite post of the army.
Yes, the fighting.
We had about 90 airplanes come over us to smash the German army or those facing us, and we finally broke through. And then we moved up toward Belgium, and we got to Belgium, and then Holland. And then we landed at Saint-Vith. Now, before we got there, we stopped at a forest called Hurtgen Forest.
Yes.
And that was one of the most terrible battles we had. Mud, dirt, cold, snow, no food for a while, and we made it anyway. Now, I wish to point out this. What is your first name?
Bill.
Bill. There were three enemies that the soldier faces. The real enemy, the person.
The Germans.
That's one. The second enemy is the terrain and the environment he fights in.
Yes.
And the third enemy is the psychological fact, the emotions and fears and worries that accompany you as you move forward. So you have three enemies to face, and the third one can knock you out quicker than a bullet.
Absolutely it can. So there you are, you're at Saint-Vith, and that is some of the most intensive fighting. That was one of the fronts at the Battle of the Bulge, was it not?
I was in the Battle of the Bulge, and a stow was my blanket.
Boy, that is cold. It was nasty during the Battle of the Bulge. But eventually the tide turned and the Americans won the Battle of the Bulge. Where did you go next?
Right. Then when we took up occupation duty in Cologne and Frankfurt, and then in a place called Mainz, M-A-I-N-Z, and we were there about 9 months. My total time in Europe was 27 months.
27 months in the battles in Europe. Wow.
Five battles.
Well, now, tell me, I know that you are very proud of your military service, and of course, yesterday was Veterans Day, a day that we take to acknowledge and to thank all of those who have served our country, both in the military, the police, and in the fire. So I want to thank you for your service in all of these famous battles that help us to win the war. But tell me about the sense of pride, the sense of feeling that you had regarding your own military service.
Let me put it this way. I am very, very proud that I served my country. And even though I'm 100 years of age, should I be called, I would gladly go again.
We're talking to Dr. Dan Feller, everybody. He is 100 years old, as you heard him say, going to be celebrating his 101st birthday in just a few short weeks, and he's raring to go should he ever be called again. I think that that's fantastic. So you get decommissioned out of the military service, Dan. When did you start your training to become a life and marriage counselor? Was it after the war?
Yes.
And where did you get your training? What school did you go to?
UCLA.
Oh, UCLA. So that's what brought you out here to California.
Yes.
All right, so I have to ask you. Here you are, you're a Brooklyn boy. You've seen the world because you've served in the military. You went to Europe. You liberated Europe. And why, of all of the schools in all of the states across this country, did you choose UCLA?
Well, during the war, we got a 3-day pass to arrest, and we were sent to the French Riviera. And with another officer, a friend of mine, we spent 3 days there, and I fell in love with the place. And I told my friend, if there were a place like this in the United States, I would leave New York, which I said I never would. So I went to, after I was discharged, I went to California, and I fell in love with it. And so I settled here.
All right.
And I pulled my whole family out after that.
I see. So your entire family moved from Brooklyn to here, and now everybody resides here in California?
Right.
Oh, great. Well, Dan, so here you are. You're getting your degree at UCLA. You open up a very successful practice, and clearly you've stayed out here ever since that time. So looking back over your life, over 100 years old, I mean, you've seen a lot of things go on in those 100 years. Tell us, from your perspective, what are the things that matter most to you in life?
Well, let me put it this way, Bill. I feel I've had a full life. And I'll quote seven points. One, number one, I had a very, very happy childhood. Number two, I came from a stable family. Number three, I had some interesting work experiences. Number four, I did a lot of traveling. Number five, I had a good education. Number six, I'm proud of my military service. And number seven, I had the marriage I wanted. I'm ready to go.
Oh, that is great. So that's incredible. Really, you were very blessed throughout your lifetime to have had so many wonderful things happen to you. I think that that is marvelous. And as you look back over that, any one thing or any couple of things stand out as the most important to you?
My marriage?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Is your wife still with you?
No, she passed away 12 years ago.
No, I'm sorry to hear that, but it sounds like you had a very nice and full life with her as well.
Extremely well.
Yeah, it does sound that. That's wonderful.
And I don't want to point out one thing.
Sure, what's that?
My last position was with the L.A. County Mental Health Department, and my job was to meet with senior citizens and help them cope with the ravages of aging.
Well, now, that brings up an interesting question. I mean, here you are. You're 100 years old. What do you owe your longevity to, and how did you overcome, as you put it, the ravages of aging?
Well, first of all, I was very fortunate to inherit good genes.
Yes, you were.
And I must add a little luck also. But, Bill, now here's the answer, really. You have to never use your body beyond its endurance. Number two, watch your stress level. It will age you faster than anything else. Number three, you have to train your mind to make adjustments to the realities that you're facing. You have to know how to change your attitude so that your body will be enhanced instead of hurt. In other words, use your body. Do not abuse your body.
Good, good. I like that. That is good.
And because your health is your real wealth.
Good point. Health is wealth. There is no question about it. We're talking to Dr. Dan Feller, everybody. He is a centenarian. He has passed 100 years, and now he's moving in on 101 years old. I want to come back, Dan, to something that you just said was probably some of the most important advice that you gave us in how to live a long life, and that is train your mind to adjust, change your attitude to adjust to the changing environment. And my goodness, in your life, you went through tumultuous changes. First, there was the Great Depression. Then there was World War II, followed by civil rights movements, the women's movement, all of that. You've seen assassinations. You've seen a lot of stuff in your life.
Indeed.
How did you train your mind And how did you keep that positive attitude? What kept you going?
Now, the mind, Bill, is the master of your body and your behavior. And if you train your mind to be able to adjust to reality, then you're enhancing your life. You're making it positive. Whereas if you do not adapt to what is, then you're going to get hurt. And one more point I'd like to stress. If you find that you cannot deal with the circumstances surrounding you, then your mind must accept what it must and change what it can.
Accept what it must and change what it can. I think that that is great advice. Now, I happen to know, Dan, that you are going to be honored this weekend at a very big event that's coming up on Sunday. You are the guest of honor at the Brooklyn Boys High School reunion on Sunday, November the 14th, and that's going on from 12 noon until 3 p.m. at Sportsman's Lodge in Studio City. Is this the type of information that you're going to give to your fellow listeners from Brooklyn Boys High School when you talk to them on Sunday?
If they ask me to do it, I'll do it.
All right. Well, that's fine. Otherwise, I think you should just relish the fact that you are the guest of honor and that you have lived this long and very, very full life, Dan. Now, you're talking to thousands of people here in Ventura County. What single piece of advice would you give them for leading a long and productive life?
Well, that's a big, big, big question. I would say that you have to accept the realities of facing you, and when you don't feel too good, take your mind off your mind.
Take your mind off of your mind. I think that that is great advice. We've been talking to Dr. Dan Feller, everybody. He's a centenarian. He's lived over 100 years. He's moving in on 101 years old. Going to be honored this Sunday at an event for the Brooklyn Boys High School at the Sportsman's Lodge in Studio City. Dan, thank you so much for being our guest. Good health and good luck to you. I hope you live to be 120.
Thank you very much, and the same to you.
Thanks.
And you take care of yourself.
And you take care, too. We'll be talking to you later.